When we first went to the States with the kids, we actually took them to the Library of Congress. It's a beautiful building. It's huge. Anybody want to guess how many books are in the Library of Congress? It's the largest library in the world. A million, some people? It's big, but it's not that big. There's 168 million books in the Library of Congress. So, it is a beautiful building. If you've watched the video National Treasure, you've actually had a little bit of a glimpse inside the Library of Congress, where they're running through and they're getting the book and everything. So, but I think God likes books too. His library must be much bigger than the Library of Congress. Because last time I was speaking, we looked in the Word in Revelation and saw that God actually has a book for each one of us. Well, anybody know how many are alive on the planet at the moment? $7.5 billion. That's a lot of books, and that's just us alive at the moment. That's without thinking about who's already been alive. Now, I have no idea what God's books look like. This artist thinks that they look like scrolls because it talks in the Bible about scrolls. What God's books look like, I wouldn't be at all surprised if they look more like iPads. But that's because that's what books look like to us now. When we get there, we'll find out. We'll find out what our book looks like. Maybe it's a beautiful bound book. I don't know. But I do know that God has books in heaven. And I do know that he wants us aware that our story is being written in heaven. Who's written part of their own story? Anybody here? Yes, starting to. Anybody else? Right, good. There's a couple of people starting to write their story. Well, God's already started. He's writing your story. And last time we spoke, we looked at the fact that God is writing from a different perspective from us. But the aspect that I wanted to bring out this morning is I believe God wants us to be aware that we aren't just here on planet Earth to come and to go. In the few short years that we have here, and if you're over 50, you know that those years go very fast. Up to 50, it's like, yeah, that's so, just another year. Once you get past 50, it's like the years get on a skateboard or something. They just start to go. But it says in Colossians 3 verse 2, it says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, I don't think that means that God's calling us all to be mystics. Some people are. Some people have that call. But I think every one of us, regardless of what we do as our occupation, what we have in the terms of relationship, marriage, kids, whatever, I believe that God wants us to have a heavenly focus. And I believe it's important. And one of the reasons I believe that it's important comes out of time when Jesus spoke to the disciples. And it says here in Luke 19, verse 11, now, as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. I want you to picture this. You have got Jesus leading the disciples towards Jerusalem. And in the very next chapter of Luke, you've got the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Now the disciples were excited to go up to Jerusalem. but their perspective and the perspective of many people living at that time was they wanted Jesus to go to Jerusalem because they wanted him to become king. Jesus knew that he was heading to Jerusalem to die. Their focus was on the now. Jesus, get rid of these Romans. We don't want to be under their rule. Jesus, make my life better. Jesus, this is hard. Jesus, just fix it all. And Jesus wanted them to know, I'm not going up to Jerusalem to fix Jerusalem. I'm going up to Jerusalem to change the world. And sometimes I think we can get a little bit disappointed, and we're going to talk more about this next week, because we have a different perspective of what God should be doing in our life. It's like, well, if you just dealt with this, and you did this, and you blessed me with that, and if I had that, then wow, my life would be cruisy. And it's like, God, why don't you realize this? I mean, what's the problem? Why don't you just say yes to all my requests? In fact, today will be really good. But Jesus wanted these guys to know that God's plan was bigger than their predicament. And my encouragement to you today is that God's plan is bigger than your now. So let's have a look at the parable. Let's learn some things from the parable, and then we'll talk some more about it. Verse 12, therefore he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. It's a parable. Parables have different layers. Or you can read a parable and go, oh yeah, nice story. Or you can look at a parable and say, okay, what are the truths that are hidden within this parable? Well, number one, the nobleman is a picture of Jesus. So what's the nobleman going to do? It's not a trick question. Just look on the board. The nobleman did what? Yeah, he went into a far country. It's a picture of Jesus going away. The disciples did not hear that very well. Jesus told them many times, the Son of Man is going up to Jerusalem to be betrayed into the hands of the Gentiles, and he will die. And he told them all about going away, and that, and it just kind of went over the top of their heads. It's like, he's my king. He's going to fix everything. So this nobleman is going to go away. Now, we are fortunate enough to be able to look back on that and say, yeah, that's what happened. Jesus went to the cross, he rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. He went away. But it's not the end of the story. So it says that he called the servants together and gave to them 10 minas, which is the sum of money. And what did he tell them to do? I heard a little mumble. Yeah, do business till I come. Now, I think some Christians think he said, sit round and wait till I get back. Or, relax, have a good time, it won't be long. No, he didn't. He said, do business till I come. That Greek word is pragmatumai. You can see the word pragmatic in there, can't you? Be being pragmatic, being down to earth, dealing with the now. The word actually means to busy oneself. That's what most of you are going to do tomorrow morning. It's called work. Does God bless our work? Yes. Is it part of his plan for us? Yes. He said, do business. In other words, do something. Trade. That kind of scares a lot of people because that means dealing with money. And some people think money must not be of God. Hopefully, God's been able to deal with that in your heart and that you know that God wants us to use money for the kingdom. He wants us to be able to handle money and handle it well, where our heart is still connected with heaven and the love of money does not affect us. Sadly, there are people in the world that cannot handle money. Money is powerful and it does corrupt some people. But God wants his kids to be so in love with him that they can do business with money, they can steward it for the kingdom, and that they can bless the kingdom and help other people to know who God is. It's a good place for somebody to say amen. Amen. To busy oneself, trade, occupy. That has to do with being in different places. The sad reality is that the church years and years ago, you know, we laughed when I said, you know, wait till I get back. But years and years ago, the church began to focus on the return of Christ so much that people stopped getting an education. Don't know if any of you were around that time, but like to get an education was a waste of time. The fruit of that is that the people in high places now are not lovers of God. God said, occupy. Be in places of influence and power. Be the decision makers. Be the people in government. Be the people in the education area, in the medical field. Be the people who have influence on the planet. Because where you carry me, I can bless. I think by and large, we have not understood this parable. That's all right. But I think God is wanting us to realize the hour that we're in and that he is equipping us to have places of influence and to be able to put the body of Christ where the body of Christ can reach the harvest that he wants to see brought into the kingdom. Again, another good place for somebody to say amen. Okay. Verse 15. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Okay, the nobleman, who was a picture of Jesus, he goes away, but he doesn't stay away. He comes back. We haven't got to that stage yet in the story. But it is coming. So when this nobleman comes back, what does he want to know?
What you been doing?
Good answer, what you been doing? He wants to have a look at what we have done. Now, for some of us that have been raised with very much of a performance mentality, we kind of think that anybody wanting to know what we have done is kind of like a put down. It's like, you don't measure up. You're not good enough. You're a failure. You didn't do this. I gave you the ability to do that and you never did it. What's wrong with you? That's not what the Lord is going to be doing. See, if you've come from that sort of background and you've got that sort of fear to deal with, talk to somebody and deal with it. Because the Lord's got a whole different perspective. In the parable we see where he asks people, what have you done? It's so that he can reward. Folks, our time on earth here is short. Some of us know that more than others. It's short. But this is not all that there is. And how we live our life here is setting us up for what eternity will look like. What we do with our life here reveals what's in our heart. What do we want? What will we go after? What's important to us? What gifts will we develop? What will we give ourselves to? Those are the things that we take into eternity. So you might not finish what's on your heart to do while you're here. We'll come back to that thought in a minute, but let's finish first of all with the parable. Verse 16, then came the first saying, Master, your miner has earned 10 miners. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came saying, Master, your miner has earned 5 miners. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. The disciples were asking about the kingdom. Will you set up your kingdom now? And Jesus gives a glimpse into what the kingdom will be like. See, what does 5 coins have to do with 5 cities? Or 10 coins with 10 cities? But the Master says, you were faithful with what you had, and because you were faithful with what you had, I'm going to entrust you with what I have. Because you were faithful in the earthly, you will be entrusted with much in the heavenly. Again, what we walk in the eternal realm is determined by our life in the now. It's kind of a sobering thought. But it's a reality I believe the Lord wants us to lay hold of. That it's not just about the now. It's about the eternal. And some people can feel like, well, I didn't do much. But they were faithful with what they had. Faithfulness unlocks a huge key regarding eternity. So last time we looked in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is a hall of fame for faith. And last time we looked at these guys, we looked at Abel. The fact that he offered the lamb rather than his own works. Then we looked at Enoch. The only claim to fame that that man had was that he walked with God. But that is something that he will carry for eternity. One of the people when we get there will go, wow, that's Enoch. Awesome. Then we have Noah. Noah simply obeyed God. He did something that looked stupid. Nobody builds a boat on top of a hill where there's no river, there's no sea, there's nothing. But that's what Noah did. He simply obeyed. Then we have Abraham and Sarah. Their story is much the same. All they did was obeyed. They went out, they didn't even know where they were going. They just said, God, you said it, we're trusting you. And many of you here have been just like that. God, I don't know how it works. I don't know what it looks like. But I believe you're in this. I trust you. That's the faith of Abraham. But I want you to look at a fascinating verse in Hebrews 11. So it goes through all these amazing people. Then we get down to verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. Let's look at that again slowly. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. They believed God and they didn't get what they were believing for. But how many people have been made to feel like their faith is small because they've prayed for something and they don't yet see it? We've been so quick to judge. We've been so quick to say, oh, well, if you just had more faith, then you'd be healed. If you just had more faith, then you wouldn't have any financial problems. If you just had more faith, you'd be married. If you just had more faith, you would be this or you would be that or whatever. Your faith is not just about what you receive in the now. Your faith is about what you will have for eternity. Don't give up on believing for the things that God's put on your heart. See, I believe that there's people here who have stopped believing because you see the end of life and you're thinking, I've run out of time. I can't do that. It's too late. I don't have enough time left. I believe God wants to encourage some hearts this morning that it does not matter how many years you have left. What matters is what is in your heart. Will you still keep dreaming though the years keep ticking by? Will you have the courage to say, God, I only see it and I see it faintly, but I'm believing that you want to see this in the earth, that you want to see meetings where people come in and everybody is healed. Amen. Catherine Coleman believed to see that. She never saw it. But one day she will, because she's in the cloud of witnesses. And she's going, go, Papa. I want to see that meeting where everybody who walks in walks out healed. Some of you have that stirring in your heart. What's other things that you want to see? What about situations of poverty changed? What about situations where trafficking happens? Want to see that ceased? You might not see it in your lifetime, but you will see it. If God's put it in your heart, don't think it finishes with the grave. We think the grave is the end. It's just the beginning. God talks about our existence here on earth as a flower that fades. Or a vapor that's gone. And he goes on to say, I'm going to prepare a place for you. It's an eternal place. And then in 1 Corinthians 2, it says, eyes not seen or ear heard, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. I mean, you only need to look around at this planet and it's beautiful. But this is only a glimpse of what heaven is like. Hebrews tells us that what we see on earth is just a shadow of what eternity is like. Do you know you're only working on 10% of your brain? Look at the person next to you and say, you're doing pretty well, really. Only 10%. I believe God had to limit man because if we had our full capacity, imagine what evil could look like. So God limited us to 10%. Can you imagine what you will do when you get your other 90%? There are things to be invented which have not been invented yet. And if they're not invented while we're here on earth, they will be invented, while we are in eternity. Your creativity that you've got a taste of now is nothing compared to what you will be like in the eternal realm. If you think you're going to heaven to sit on a cloud and play a harp, you have very little confidence in who your designer is. He's created galaxies and he's still creating. Now, some of us think, oh, go to heaven and rest up, that will be nice. I'm sure he'll give us some rest. And I'm sure it will be absolutely wonderful and worship will just, it will be amazing. But you will still be you in eternity. And if you do not complete what God puts in your heart to complete or to do or to give yourself to while you're here on earth, you will take you into eternity. And if your heart is to write books, guess what? There's still more books to write in eternity. If your heart is to make music, oh, think of the music you'll create when you're in heaven. No bung notes. Oh, awesome. So I believe that Papa wants to reawaken some people this morning because I believe that there's some people sitting here and you have decided you're too old, it's too late, and you will not be able to do what God has put in your heart to do. In fact, if that's you, I want you on your feet right now. I know there's more of you. I know there's more of you who have said, oh, I don't think I'll ever be able to do that. Papa, open our eyes. Open our eyes to see that this is just a practice run. It's just a practice run. It's just a practice run. And what you are doing is you are showing Papa what you love, what you want to do. And Papa, I believe, wants to declare over you standing this morning that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He does not change his mind. What you carry, you will carry into eternity. And what he begins through you will be completed through others. You want to act? God has whole acting schools in heaven. You want to take care of children? There are babies and children in heaven who are still growing up. You want to welcome people? Do you know God specifically chooses people to welcome the newbies into heaven? Imagine being a greeter in heaven. Oh, our concepts are way too small. Lord, enlarge our concepts this morning. Lord, I thank you for every person here who dared to stand. Lord, I thank you that you will give them increased revelation. That they're just starting. They're not finishing, they're starting. I thank you for that. You can be seated while we finish off with this last verse. Verse 14, for clearly, this is the Passion's translation. Verse 13, these heroes all died still clinging to their faith, not even receiving all that had been promised them. But they saw beyond the horizon the fulfillment of their promises and gladly embraced it from afar. They all lived their lives on earth as those who belong to another realm. For clearly those who live this way are longing for the appearing of a heavenly city. Folks, we belong to another realm. Stop getting so caught up with what's happening here that you fail to realize that what you are doing here will go over into the eternal. Verse 15, and if their hearts were still remembering what they left behind, they would have found an opportunity to go back. Next time I want to speak about that part. But verse 16, but they couldn't turn back, for their hearts were fixed on what was far greater, that is, the heavenly realm. So because of this, God is not ashamed in any way to be called their God, for he has prepared a heavenly city for them. God has prepared a heavenly city for you. You have a place in the eternal realm. You're not there yet. Still in the earthly. Still need to deal with what's here on the earth. But God wants you to have your eyes open enough to know that there is an eternal realm for us to lay hold of. Papa, pray you'll seal this in our hearts. Lord, that this is not it. Our earthly life is not it. That you have got something incredible for us. And Lord, I pray for each person here that we will start to get a glimpse of the eternal. Start to get a glimpse of what you're preparing us for. Thank you for the little tastes that we have in the now. Lord, reawaken dreams here. In your name, Jesus. Amen.